don't know how many of you have cats, but I'm not saying this to step on anybody's toes about cats. But, you know, cats cannot be Christians. And cats cannot be Christians because of one thing. They're all about themselves. And, you know, if you have a dog, I mean, if any of you have a dog, you'll know very quickly that if you go away for 2 weeks and you come home, that dog's there waiting. He's waiting for you. He's all excited about you, about who you are as his master. A cat don't do that. A cat, when you come home, it's sitting on your chair, and if you look at it, it goes, "It's my chair." It does not respect you as master. It does not respect you as king or master. And I often say that, and I know Ken Davis uses that different times, and that's where I get it from. And he said he shared that one time, and some lady wrote him a letter, and she said, "That's not true. When I bow my head to pray for food, my cat does too." My cat's a Christian, so. But anyway, cats cannot be Christians in my book because of their attitude. And what I want to talk about this morning is, do you long to know God? Or do you long to have God know you? Like, you know, look what I'm doing. I'm doing all these good things, God. Do you see what I'm doing? And we sit here sometimes thinking that God's supposed to know who we are, and we're trying to live a life that God knows who we are instead of us pursuing who God is. And my challenge this morning is going to be just that. We have become so busy doing good things for God that we no longer have time to do God things. And some people may ask, well, what are God things? But we'll get into that. But first of all, as we think of ourselves, we need to stop the me, I cycle and start, it's all about God. It's not about me. It's all about God. And if we can get our focus there first, the rest is so much easier. If we can get our focus, it's all about God. It's not about me. Do you know that God does not exist in heaven for you and I? And I know I shared some of this before, probably 2 years ago. But God does not exist for you and I. He loves us. He created us. But he does not exist merely for you and I. He created you and I to exist for him. He created you and I to worship him. He does not worship us. And you know, if God would live in heaven, if he would live for you and I, he would be guilty of idolatry. Because God lives for God. God literally lives for God. He created you and I to live for him. He created you and I to worship him. He created you and I to love him. He loves us. He created us, but he does not worship us. He created us to worship him. Now, God always knows everything about you. As much as we may walk around this world doing things that we want God to notice or wanting God to know who we are, you have no surprises. And this may be a news flash, I don't know, but you have no surprises for God. God knows everything about you, what you're going to do and what you aren't going to do. He knows where you're going, where you came from. He knows everything. And you know, there's a lot of people that sit around waiting for God to draw near to them, waiting for God. I hear this different times as I talk to people. Well, I'm waiting on God. And it does say, be still and know that I am God. But you know, when I hear people saying they're waiting on God, they can't make a decision because they're waiting on God. I often wonder if they ever thought in James 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to me. Draw near to God. And then he will draw near to you. We need to be in moving. We need to be constantly moving. We cannot sit still on a platform, on any stage of our life and say, well, you know what? Well, God, you know, I'm waiting on you. I'm simply waiting on you, God. No, he wants us to constantly keep moving toward him. If we are not constantly moving toward him, then he will not draw near to us. We need to draw near to him so he would draw near to us. Now, if you would, turn with me to Hosea 4, 1 to 6. And if some of you don't know where that is at, it's on page 1509. But that's in my book. Hosea chapter 4. And what I want to talk about this morning is knowledge. And we need to understand the concept of drawing near to God. We need to understand the concept of what God promises for us. We need to understand the concept of a covenant relationship. A covenant relationship that God has with you and I. And without knowledge, it's impossible to understand us. And in Isaiah, it says, Hosea, sorry about that, chapter 4, verse 1. And we'll read through verse 6. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. But let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another. For your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother." And it says in verse 6, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children, simply from lack of knowledge." Now, my desire this morning is that as we go through this message, that we would be able to draw our attention to God, recognizing that we need to learn to know God. We need to learn to know who God is. God does not need to learn to know who you and I are and the struggles that we go through and what's happening in our lives. He already knows it. We need to learn to know God. And that is the ultimate thing that I hear as I talk to people, wanting people to understand, wanting God to understand what they're going through. God already knows. God already knows, and He cares, and He loves you. But He wants you to learn to know Him, and that's through the knowledge of the Scriptures. Now, this was also Paul's lifelong goal. And my prayer is that it would be your lifelong goal. If you turn with me to Philippians, I got several passages here I want to go through. Philippians 3, verse 7, starting at verse 7. We need to understand that we need to have a knowledge of who God is in order to draw closer to Him. Philippians 3, starting at verse 7, it says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And friends, that is my desire, that each one of us would have that burning in our heart to press on, to learn to know God. It's not about us. This life is not about you and I. It's all about God. And if we can take the focus off of me, I, and focus it on God, what a difference. What a difference it makes. The joys that can come as we serve a God that we are learning more and more about. I got one more I want to go to yet. Then I want to share about this, a covenant relationship with God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, starting at verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 2. It's kind of ironic because Tommy was talking about this last night. Starting at verse 2, and it says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God." Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And it says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." So through our knowledge, He has given us everything we need for life through our knowledge of Him. "Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through Him you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, my point of this is, that's a promise that Christ has given, God has given each one of us. And what I want to talk about is a covenant relationship. One of the reasons we need to take this very seriously, in Matthew 26, 28, it says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And the word covenant literally stands for, it's usually a formal, solemn, and binding agreement, a written agreement or promise, usually under seal between two or more parties. God has already given us everything we need for life. Now it's up to us whether we're willing to draw close to God. That's the covenant that he's given with us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we can have life and we can have a life more abundantly. You know, God, I mean, he talks about that. That life more abundantly doesn't start when we get to glory. That life more abundantly starts right here with a clear conscience and a clear heart before God, coming before him excited about what he has done for each one of us. Mark 1, 14, 15, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news, which is the covenant of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. And this then is the covenant that God has between man and him. That you would repent of your selfish nature, just like we talked about the cat being selfish. We need to repent of our selfish nature. We need to believe in the finished work of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We need to believe in that. That is our salvation, and that is a covenant that God has made with man in the new covenant. That's the new covenant that he has brought, that he has made with man. Jesus promised that you will have life, and then you will have it more abundantly. Now, as he has promised that, I also want to take this now from a covenant relationship with God. He has already given us everything we need to have a relationship with him. What about our marriage? Let's turn it over to some thoughts to our spouses. And those that aren't married, that's okay. You'll need to know this. How is it in your relationship with your spouse? How is it? Do you long to know your spouse? Or do you long to have your spouse know you? Do you long to know your spouse, or do you long to have your spouse know you? How is it in your relationship? Is it all about you, or is it all about your spouse? Again, I believe many times we become so busy doing good things for our spouses instead of spouse things. Things that really matter to a spouse, I believe we become so busy trying to do it. And notice I'm going to say spouse because I am not talking to either gender. This goes both ways. I'm not talking either way. We need to recognize that our spouses, just as God calls, they want our undivided attention. They long to have our undivided attention constantly. You know, just thinking about talking about this here, I have to share something this morning. And I want to only share this simply because we're not perfect. You know, we got up this morning. And we got into arguments. Pretty bad. And I didn't recognize it at first. But we got to arguing about the dumbest thing that you could imagine. And yeah, I'm not perfect. And I only share this to let you know that. But after we got to arguing and a heated discussion, you might call it, I'm not going to downplay it. I got upset. I was really ticked off. But I knew after we talked about it a little bit, after I walked away for a while, I started to realize that, you know what, I'm preaching about this morning. And it was like, it was a direct attack from Satan. You know, once we recognize that, we could pray about it, we could talk about it, we recognize it was attack. And it was the dumbest things. But you know, our spouses need our undivided attention. They need to know that we are fully for them. They need to know that. And that doesn't just come by telling them, oh yeah, you know, I heard the story already that somebody said, you know, when I got married, I told her I loved her, and if it ever changes, I'll tell her. You know, that's not what we're talking about here. I mean, your spouse needs to know that they are all yours, that they are 100% yours. God also wants to know that. God also wants to know that you're 100% committed to Him, not half-hearted. When this is not happening in a marriage, it creates a burning jealousy inside your partner. And it opens the door for all kinds of spiritual warfare to go on. And rightly so, because when you got married, you made a promise that you would love her or him, cherish them until death do you part. And that, my friends, is a covenant relationship. That is a covenant relationship that God has allowed. God has ordained that. God has allowed that to happen. That's a covenant relationship between a man and a woman. So when they don't feel like they are the only person that you care about, it burns a jealous anger. And rightly so. Rightly so. And there are four areas that I like to talk about. But you know, it also says that, you know, you promised that you would cherish her and love her until death do you part. And that was a covenant and a promise that you made. But what would it be? And it says, well, God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Let not man put asunder. What is it that man could put that marriage asunder? What is it that man could break that covenant relationship? It is self. About every case that I would know of, it is self. It is because I refuse to lay down self. I refuse to give up of who I am. I. It's all about me. Instead of, it's all about my partner. If we would say it's all about my partner, that self would have to die. That self would literally have to die. And that's what I'm asking this morning, is that we would recognize it is not about me. It's not about me. Self has to die. Self has to go first. There are four areas here I chose to talk about that can ease the jealous anger of a spouse. And it's not one gender over another. And I know there's more. I know there's many more. And some people say, hey, you know what? I thought of another one. That's fine. There's these four areas I want to talk about. One of them is we need a compliment. Compliment your spouse. Compliment. If we are all about self, we are constantly looking for our spouse to compliment me. I want complimented. It's all about me. So I want compliments. And if I don't get compliments, I'm going to get upset. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to get frustrated. I'm tired of it. I don't want nothing to do with it because they don't compliment me. Compliment your spouse. Look at complimenting your spouse. And it's not about you. It's all about your spouse. Need to lay down self to be able to do that. You can't do it and have a selfish motive. Number two is to show your love and adoration. Show your love. Take your spouse on a date. Go for a walk. It doesn't have to be expensive. Just take time. Time alone. Just go for a walk. Do something with your spouse to let them know that you care. Let them know they are special. Tell them, but also show that in action. Take them for a walk. Go, whatever you all like to do. You need to learn to know your spouse. You got to draw closer to your spouse by learning to know who they are, just like we talked about God. If you want to know God, you need to draw to Him. You need to draw near to Him. The third one is stay in touch. Stay in touch. If you don't stay in touch, you will never really know how your spouse feels. You will never truly know how your spouse feels. The real true feelings of their heart by staying in touch, and not by staying in touch by arguing. Stay in touch by talking about our feelings. Take times to sit down and talk about it. Take times to sit down and talk about what's going on in your life. And that's the fourth one, talk it through. Don't just, well, it's not worth dealing with, throw it away. No, talk it through. If there's something comes up between you and your spouse, talk it through. Share. What's going on? Take the time to sit down and let them talk it through. Maybe you need to let them talk it through. A lot of times we get stuck in this mode where I want to talk it through. I need to talk it through. They need to listen. But if it's all about your spouse and you can lay down your selfish attitudes, you can listen to your spouse that way. Allow them to talk it through. Allow them to talk it through. And the one that's going to give up the easiest is the one that's drawn closest to God. The one that's going to be able to do this is of a covenant relationship is the one that is nearest to God. It's going to be the one that's going to take the first steps to do something like this. These four steps will ease the jealous anger that tends to build in a covenant relationship. Now, moving on. We are, as Christians, in a covenant relationship with God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and God is a jealous God wanting our undivided attention. Now, you can turn with me, if you want, to Exodus 20, verse 5. And it started out in verse 4. It says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below." But then verse 5, it says this, "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations for those who love me and keep my commandments." Now, he states very clearly he is a jealous God, and he's the same God he was yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So he's still a jealous God, and he wants our 100% undivided attention. In Deuteronomy 4:24, it says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Paul quoted it this way, quoted another phrase about a jealous God in 2 Corinthians. He said, "I hope you will put up with me with a little more of my foolishness. Please bear with me, for I am jealous for you with a jealousy of God himself." He longed to have people totally in tune with God, totally drawn that their whole idea was about God. If their heavenly, their thoughts were on heavenly things, they wouldn't have so many struggles with earthly things. People would not have the struggles with earthly things if they would be focused on the heavenly. If they would be focused on what God, who God is, and on the heavenly. I really believe that with all my heart. Now, I want to ask this. How is it in your relationship than with God? How is it? How is it with your relationship with God? Are you so busy doing good things for God that you don't have time to do God things? And I know you may ask, you know, what are God things? What are God things? If we're so busy doing good things for God instead of God things, what are God things? Now, I want to do the same thing. And if you didn't write them down the first time, I want you to write them down this time if you can, if you have a pen, paper. I think on the back of your bulletin you can write them down. But anyway, same four things apply as do in a marriage. Compliment your Abba Father. Compliment God. Tell him how beautiful his creation is. Just tell him how beautiful he's created the trees, even when you're going hunting. You're out hunting. You can tell God how beautiful his creation is. The flowers that grow wherever you may have them. I mean, just tell God how beautiful. Compliment God for the beauty of his creation. Compliment him. He wants to hear it. Compliment. Number two is show your love. Let God know how much you love him. We know through the scriptures, and he tells us very clearly that he loves us. He wants us to love him. He already loves us. He already loves us. He wants us to love him. So show your love. Let God know. You may say, well, God knows all things. You already said that, and I know that. God does know all things, but he wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear it from you in a covenant relationship that he has made between you and him. He wants to hear it. Next one is stay in touch. Stay in touch. Tell God what kind of day you had, even though he already knows. He still wants to hear it from you. He still wants to hear. You may have had a very rough day. And you know what? You can come to God and just tell him. Tell him exactly what it was like. Just say, oh God, I don't know what to do. You may come to the end of your rope. You know, God wants to hear from you. And you may say, well, God already knows how I feel and he, you know, all these things. But you know what? He still wants to hear from you. He wants you to draw near to him. If you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. And the fourth one was talk it through. Talk it through. Troubles and trials come up. Talk them through with God because he does care for you. He really does. He cared for you. But listen, all four of them are through prayer. Through prayer. How is your relationship with God? Are you willing to talk it through with God? Are you able to talk it through with God? Are you at peace to talk it through with God? Are you just, can you come and just share God what's going on in your life? You know, each one that desires to know God from the bottom of their heart, God promises in Psalm, and I want you to turn with me there, and I want you to underline this, Psalm 37, if you write in your Bible, that is. You don't have to if you don't. Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And in James it says, if you draw nigh to me, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You know, as we think about that, how is it with your relationship with God? How is it? You know, are you able to do that? Can you take them four principles and apply them to your life? Talk to God, share with him, compliment. It's first of all, compliment, show your love. I like that. You put them up there. Stay in touch and talk it through. Talk it through with God. God wants to hear from us. That's how we grow and stay in that covenant relationship that he has so given everything for through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In closing this morning, I have asked Mark if he would come, and we want to sing a song. And I just want to say this. It's a song, Lord, I want to know you more and more. And as we think of that, I want you to think about it in your heart, and we're going to ask everybody to stand, and if Mark would come forward, would you come up and lead it up here? If everybody would stand, if this is your heart's desire to know God more and more and to stop arousing his jealous anger by looking to all kinds of other sources and other things to try and please ourselves instead of God, things that are pleasing to God, I'm just going to say that if God speaks to you, and I don't want somebody just to respond on account of just because they respond, but if God has spoken to your heart and you know that in your heart, you have grown apart from God, and you want to say, I want to know you more. I want to tell you, the altar's open as we sing.
You ask. Amen. Thanks for that song.
And I just want to say this, that as you learn to know God more and more, likewise will your relationship with one another as couples. Covenant relationship will grow stronger as you learn to know God more. My prayer is that we would have that burning desire in our hearts, that we would never give up drawing closer to God, that we would just have a zeal to know God more. Let's pray. God, we just come to you and thank you for the opportunity to share this morning together. And God, I just pray that you would dismiss each one with your blessing. God, would you just bless each one that came out this morning? Would you pour your spirit out upon them in a special way? Would you just help them to draw closer in their relationships with one another? And God, you know each one of their hearts. I just commit them all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed.